I want to continue our studies in the book of Galatians, a book that encourages us to focus on the blessing of Abraham, which is a promised heavenly inheritance. By focusing our life and our thoughts and our hopes upon the heavenly inheritance and the coming kingdom of our Lord, it bolsters our faith, our confidence in our God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. And one thing that we can be encouraged concerning Abraham, Abraham didn't live a perfect life. Abraham made mistakes, and God got him out of them. Abraham put feet to his prayers, and he suffered the consequences. And today, we're seeing the consequences of that union between Hagar and Abraham. And the descendants of Ishmael are just simply a wild men, wild people. So, we understand that, and we can go on with life and know that we can trust God to take care of us, just like He took care of Israel. Israel lived amidst of his brethren who were wild men, and you know what? They're still in existence today. So we can take confidence in the fact we may be living in the midst of wild people today, but who is in charge? Our God's in charge. So we don't have to worry about that. All we need to do is focus on being faithful to God. And the way we can do that is to have faith. And faith does what? It gives substance to things that we don't see. We sure don't see His kingdom today. And it adds, not only do we see things that we can't see, but it adds substance to the things that we can't see, that causes us to live a different life, a life of confidence in our God. So I want to read this morning in Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, where it says, "He therefore that ministereth to you, the Spirit, worketh miracles among you, and worketh miracles among you, excuse me, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children or sons of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or Gentiles through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations, that is, Gentiles, as well as the nation of Israel, be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." I think it would be profitable for us to review a little bit of what we went over when I was, before I took a time out for recuperation. I'd like to pick up on in verse 5 where it says, "He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit," that is, of a Son, Spirit of that which is of Jesus, what Jesus Christ had, "by the thing or by the hearing of faith." This passage of Scripture is dealing with the thing heard, which produces faith. And and we see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where Paul tells us, "So then faith cometh by the thing heard, and the thing heard by the Word of God." The thing heard is found in the Word of God. Now, what is the Word of God? Well, Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 define what the Word of God is. "And he said unto you, it is given... Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not or might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Or from Matthew's account, it's the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. That is, the rule of the heavens over the earth. This has to do with a heavenly inheritance. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it tells us, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted or reckoned to him for righteousness. Abraham believed the thing heard. Abraham believed the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And we see that in Genesis chapter 15, where the Lord said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." When I think about the exceeding great reward, I think about the exceeding great salvation. Not the common salvation, but the so great salvation referred to in Hebrews chapter 2. So the exceeding great reward goes with the exceeding or the so great salvation of Hebrews chapter 2. Then Abraham's response to what the Lord was showing him and telling him is found in verses 5 and 6 of Genesis 15. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." The thing heard, which was the Word of God, and the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, or the kingdom of God, had to do with the stars in the heavens. And it had to do with his heavenly seed. Genesis 22:17 speaks of his seed being as the stars of heaven, where it says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens. Now, the stars of heaven can be counted. And I didn't include this in the lesson this morning, but God has named every star. Now, Abraham didn't have time to count them when he was talking to the Lord, because you can't count all the stars in one night. because they move by too quick. And, of course, Abraham couldn't travel to the northern and the southern portions of the world, or the globe, to count the stars. So we're not talking about an innumerable host, because they are numbered. And the Word of God tells us the stars are numbered. But anyway, the heavenly host, the heavenly seed. And Abraham believed there would be a heavenly inheritance. And we find that in Hebrews 11:10 says that Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a city that God made. He was not looking for a Canaanite city. He was not looking for a city in the land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. He was looking for a specific city that God architect. The builder means he is the architect, and then the word maker is he's the one who built it. In other words, God designed it and God built it. And we find out that where that city is in verse 16 of Hebrews 11. "Now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." So Abraham wasn't looking for an earthly inheritance. He was looking for a heavenly inheritance. And God was his shield. God protected him. He didn't have to worry about him, about anything. And I was just thinking and just reflecting upon that a little bit. What had Abraham just done in chapter 14 of Genesis? Why, he wiped out three nations, or three kings. I think it was five. And I'm sure that they were real mad at Abraham for taking back all the stuff that they had gotten out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so I'm sure they were stewing over that, but God said, don't you touch them. I don't think that we can't read that, but I know this, that God shielded Abraham from those people, from those kings. Now, Abraham looked for a city. And you know what? In verse 7 of Genesis 15, it says that God, and that he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. This is, of course, not in the present tense as we think of it. But the present tense always starts with the aorist. I mean, you've got to get started somewhere. And so the aorist tense begins. He believed in the Lord. He believed the thing heard that produced faith in Abraham. Now, in Romans chapter 4, verse 13, the thing heard was that of the promise. In verse 13 it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The law wasn't given. Abraham didn't have the law, the Mosaic law. There were laws that he did have, but he didn't have the Ten Commandments, though his conscience told him that it wasn't the right thing to do is to kill a man. Well, he did have that, because it was given to Noah, that thou shalt not kill a man. And if you do, then you are to take that man's life. He did know that it was against God's laws to kill or to take a man's life, because a man was made in the image of God. So Abraham was, and his seed was not to inherit the world through the law, but through the righteousness that is because or a result of living by faith. Let me just share this with you. I was thinking about this week, and I just think about things, seems like, all the time, pertaining to the lessons that we are studying and the thoughts that of other people. A lot of people are trying to apply faith to salvation. And you know what? Faith is a quantity. It's a measured. And he says, O ye of little faith. And I was trying to think of that. I said, how do you apply that to believe? People want to make the word believe faith. How can you say, O ye of little believe? That doesn't make sense, does it? Well, to try to equate faith and believe doesn't make sense if you want to be faithful to the Word. But Abraham's, he had faith. He had confidence in God. And it was really this righteousness by faith was given to Abraham after he got out of Egypt, and Egypt got out of him, and after he separated himself from his old nephew Lot, who was a carnal descendant of Shem. He was a carnal believer, if you please. So when Abraham got away from him, God revealed to him the mysteries of the kingdom of God or heaven. And Abraham believed them. Now, back to Galatians chapter 3, it says, know ye, therefore, that they which are of faith, or better translated, out from faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. What is the significance of being the sons of Abraham? Well, the sons of Abraham are those who live by faith. It says, you know, therefore, they which are out from or out of faith, or they are living by faith, the same are mature, or the sons of Abraham, mature children of Abraham. Now, we find reference to Father Abraham, because Abraham was a father of sons. This is what is referred to in Galatians 3:7. And in Romans 4:11, it says, and he, Abraham, receive the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, present in the present tense. Who are the sons of God? The sons of God are those who are believing in the present tense. The sons of God are those who are faithful in their confidence in their God and in the inheritance and in believing in the inheritance that God has promised those who will believe in the present tense. And this, and those that are believing in the present tense, they don't have to be circumcised. And, but it, because it continues, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. So, who are the sons of God? Well, I believe they are those who are believing in the present tense. Now, in Acts chapter 13, we see references being made to the sons of Abraham. Verse 26 of Acts 13 says, men, brethren, children. In the Greek text, it's just three words. Men, brethren, sons. These are all words of address. In other words, Paul is addressing men who are brethren. And who are brethren? We know that brethren are those that are seeking to enter what? The kingdom of the heavens. Brethren are those who are seeking to enter that heavenly city that Abraham was looking for. I mean, Abraham wasn't just looking for the heavenly city so he can say, and on your left is the heavenly city. No, that's what not Abraham was looking for. Or I wouldn't say on your left. Up above there is the heavenly city. Abraham wanted to go into that city and live there. And so, Paul is addressing men and brethren, those that are actively seeking to enter the kingdom of the heavens. And they are the sons, he's addressing the sons of the stock or nation of Abraham. So, who are sons of God or sons of Abraham? Well, they are brethren. And they are of the seed of Abraham who believe in the present tense. And also, they are the ones who fear God. If there's no fear of God in your life today, you're going to live a lawless life. You're going to live like you want to. And you can find that in Romans chapter 3. A lot of people want to apply that to the lost. Those who have no fear of God, don't seek Him. You have the fear of God in your heart, you're going to seek Him on Easter and Christmas. No. You're going to seek, if you have the fear of God in your heart, you're going to seek Him daily. Even hourly. So, Matthew 13:26, Paul is addressing men, brethren, sons, those that fear God. And by the way, this word feareth is actually a present active participle that is also in the vocative case. In other words, they're addressing the ones fearing God. To you is this word of salvation sent. This salvation is the salvation that is offered to the saved, not the lost. Lost people are not brethren. Lost people are not the sons of Abraham. Lost people don't fear God. And so the salvation that is referred to has to do with the promise, which we will see in verse 32. When Paul says, we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, who are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's saying, this salvation that is sent unto you has to do with the promise that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that was a heavenly promise. Because in 1 John 2:25, it defines the word promise with a definite article, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even age lasting or kingdom life, or life in the coming kingdom. That's what age lasting or eternal life is. And this life is obtained because of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. Verse 33 of Acts 13 tells us, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He hath raised up Jesus again. Why did He raise Him up again, or raise Jesus Christ up? To be our high priest. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was sufficient for the salvation of any who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It did not take the resurrection for that salvation to be brought to mankind. The salvation of the soul, the so great salvation, the promise of life for the coming age, is all based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ into a position of our high priest. If we didn't have the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there would be no faith. Faith wouldn't work. We'll see that in just a moment. So, verse 33 says, God fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He raised up Jesus. As it is written also in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, He had already been begotten once before by Mary when He sent His only begotten Son into the world. But when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He says, this day have I begotten Thee. Well, this was a new beginning for Jesus Christ, which was our high priest. And we find that reference of the second Psalm in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He said, but he that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten Thee. I'm including this verse so that you can see, this day have I begotten Thee is to be associated with the high priestly office of Jesus Christ. Why was He raised from the dead? Man, Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Justification, by the way, is not salvation. Justification means that you are not chargeable. And as you will see as we study this passage this morning, that's the blessing of Abraham. It's to be unchargeable. That's the blessing of Abraham. And we want that blessing. And we can have that blessing if we will be the sons of Abraham. That is, the fear of God and believing in the present tense and the living by faith which is associated with believing in the present tense. So, Galatians 3:8 tells us, and the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, or out of, or out from faith, preached before the gospel of the kingdom unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. The gospel that was preached unto Abraham was a gospel preached to save people. Because that's in Genesis 15. Abraham had already been living with the Lord and walking with the Lord for a number of years. Now, this justification by faith, which was preached unto Abraham, saying that in thee shall all the nations be blessed, this justification by faith is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What am I preaching? I'm preaching the Word of God. In preaching the Word of God, I am preaching the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And if there is no faith, then I'm wasting time to stimulate your faith, which doesn't work, won't work, because Jesus Christ would still, you know, remember this, Jesus Christ, his body did go into the tomb, but his soul went into paradise and his spirit went to be with the Father. So, I mean, he went three ways, so to speak. But anyway, it's the resurrection of Christ that makes our faith active and of value, and it makes it work. And my preaching of the kingdom of heaven, or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, stimulates that faith. That faith that allows us to please God. And then going into Romans chapter 4 in verse 9, it says, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, or leading to. This is the Greek word eis. It's also translated leading to. The word eis is also translated into or unto, but it is also translated leading to. Now I think it's interesting to note here, Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead until after his crucifixion. When was Abraham living? A whole lot of millenniums before that. And so therefore, that's the reason why it says here in verse 9 that faith was reckoned to Abraham. God gave Abraham credit for faith even though Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead yet. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you credit for faith. And that's going to lead to righteousness that puts you in good stead with me as far as the judgment is concerned. Because the righteousness which is of faith is the righteousness that we want to have if we want to stand in His presence unjudgeable. Not condemned, not judged. So, anyway, let's go back to this justification is by faith, and it's dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead when Abraham lived, God reckoned him, or reckoned faith to him, or gave him credit for faith then. Then in Galatians 3:9 it says, so they which are out of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, and that's the blessing that we want. They is a reference, those who continue in the faith. They is a reference to the sons of Abraham. They is a reference to those who fear God. They are the reference to those that are brethren. And they are the ones that are faithful to the Lord, as Abraham was faithful to the Lord. And they are being blessed, process of blessing, with faithful Abraham, who also continued in the faith. Now, what is the blessing of Abraham? Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh, present middle, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted or reckoned for righteousness. Now the word worketh not is in the middle voice. The middle voice is translated for myself. So to him that worketh for him, worketh not for himself alone. In other words, what are you saying here? But to him that worketh not, but to him that believeth on the ungodly, this is works alone, or works without faith. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned or counted for righteousness. In other words, you've got to harmonize the scripture. You cannot ignore James 2:17. And say that you don't have to work at all. Because that's simply not the case. And James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Faith alone won't work. If you have faith to remove mountains, in other words, do a work to remove mountains alone, and there's no love, you've done nothing. And so faith, if it hath not works, it's dead. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Works without faith are dead works. Works that are dead. Faith alone, if that's all you have is faith, and it's doesn't have it, doesn't, you don't do anything with it, you don't go anywhere with it, you don't put any substance to it. Faith provides hope for things not seen, and substance, that is, that gives you, it moves you out. If none of that happens, faith is dead. So when we think about works alone without faith, it's dead works, works of the flesh. Now, the blessing, continuing in Romans chapter 4, verse 6, the blessing is, even as David also described the blessing of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Well, that is, without works of faith alone. In fact, the word without can also be translated in addition to. In other words, if you've got faith, you've got to have works too. That's the word. The word without is a very strange word, but it also carries the meaning and can be translated in addition to in several passages in the New Testament. And bring all those verses in, because I wanted to pick up on the blessing of Abraham. And David described that blessing, and it had to do with the righteousness, which is of faith, and it has to do with not being charged. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever, that is, works or deeds that are not of faith is sin. If you do works alone and there's no faith, what kind of works is it? It's sin. Works alone are sin. Works with faith, it's a blessing. It'll provide a blessing. Romans 4, 7 through 8 tells us, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The Lord will not impute sin unto a man who is living by faith with works. And if we are not, if God does not impute sin unto us, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham was not charged for going into Egypt. Abraham was not charged for taking Lot's lot with him, because God told Abraham to leave and go by himself. Abraham was not charged for passing his wife off to the local community as his sister, and just about, you know, the Lord shielded them by saying, hey, you touch that woman, you're a dead man. And Abraham wasn't charged for these inconsistencies in his life. He wasn't charged because he put feet to his prayers with Hagar. David was not charged. When you read in the Chronicles, you don't read about the sin of Bathsheba. You don't read about it. It's gone. It's not there. He's not chargeable. So, what do we want to conclude with? Romans 8, 33-34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth or sentenceth the unchargeable? You can't. If you're not guilty, you can't sentence them. You can't sentence Abraham. You can't sentence David, because there are no charges against them. And we don't want to have any charges against us. And we know that we need to be doing things for the Lord. But if all we're doing things are for the Lord without faith, what are we doing? We're just living in sin. You know, going out knocking on doors without faith, that's just sin. That's just, if you're serving because of guilt pressure, you know, guilt. You know what I mean, somebody laying a guilt trip on you. But anyway, let's continue here and we'll close. It is Christ that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would be chargeable, because faith would not be operative. And if faith is not operative, good works turn into sin. I tell you, the Lord has worked this system out so neat that it is so fresh, refreshing to feed upon this and to know that we can receive the blessing of Abraham, that is, to stand unchargeable in His presence. But to do that, we have to live by faith with works, of that it might righteousness might be imputed unto us. Father, I just pray that You'd help us in these days to be faithful to You, to have works, but works with faith. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to be faithful to You in believing in the riches of our inheritance in the heavenlies. May we identify ourselves with Abraham, who was a brother, who was our father, one who feared Thee. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to one day stand in Your presence approved and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord, rather than hear, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, I never knew You." Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.